Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Empty Mirror Experiences in a Japanese Zen Monastery by Janwom van de Wetering is a vivid autobiographical account of a young Western seeker who enters a Zen training monastery in Japan and discovers that spiritual aspiration quickly collides with ordinary discomforts and strict discipline. Rather than presenting Zen as a set of abstract teachings, the book emphasizes lived reality early mornings, repetitive work, physical pain, uncertainty, and the constant pressure of being watched by a tradition that expects full commitment. Van de Wetering writes with an observant, often humorous eye, describing culture shock and the challenge of understanding rituals, hierarchy, and the demands of meditation practice. The narrative also highlights how inner life changes under sustained silence and routine when small thoughts become loud and personal stories unravel. Part travel memoir, part psychological study, the book offers an accessible entry point into the atmosphere of formal Zen training and the questions it provokes about self, meaning, and what awakening might actually require. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, entering the monastery culture shock and the reality of commitment. A central topic is the transition from romantic ideas about Zen to the concrete reality of living inside a Japanese monastery. The author portrays arrival not as a gentle introduction, but as an abrupt immersion into a tightly ordered environment with unfamiliar rules and expectations. Language barriers and cultural cues make even simple interactions uncertain, and the newcomer's assumptions are tested by the community's emphasis on obedience, timing, and form. This setting highlights how commitment is measured less by intellectual interest than by the willingness to submit to a schedule and to accept correction. The monastery is not designed to make students comfortable, it is designed to expose the mind under pressure. Through daily encounters with etiquette, seniority, and discipline, the narrative shows that Zen training is also training in humility, patience, and endurance. The reader sees how quickly a seeker confronts personal resistance, such as irritation at strictness or the desire for special treatment. The value of this section is its honesty about how spiritual environments can feel alienating before they feel meaningful. It frames the monastery as a mirror that reflects back the student's habits, pride, and hidden expectations, making the act of entering itself a major stage of practice. Secondly, routine as practice work, ritual, and the shaping of attention. Another important theme is how repetitive routine becomes the main vehicle for transformation. The book depicts days structured by bells, chores, meals, cleaning, and formal movement, illustrating that Zen practice is not limited to sitting meditation. In this atmosphere, every action is performed in a prescribed way, and mistakes are noticed immediately. The author explores how such structure can feel oppressive, yet it also removes many choices that ordinarily fragment attention. Work periods and rituals become laboratories where the mind is observed, impatience appears while scrubbing floors, self-importance emerges during formal ceremonies, and anxiety arises when trying to keep pace. The monastery uses simplicity and repetition to reduce distraction and force direct contact with experience. Over time, the reader learns that discipline is not merely external control, but a method for creating conditions in which awareness can deepen. This topic also clarifies why Zen institutions emphasize posture, timing, and precision. These details are not presented as decorative tradition, but as tools that interrupt automatic behavior. By showing the tension between resistance and acceptance, the narrative reveals how ordinary tasks can become a form of meditation, training steadiness, and teaching a practical kind of presence that continues outside the meditation hall. Thirdly, the inner weather fear, doubt, and the search for authentic insight. The book pays close attention to psychological changes that arise under sustained practice, making inner turmoil as significant as external events. As silence and repetition strip away familiar distractions, the author's thoughts and emotions intensify. Doubt about his motives, fear of failure, and the feeling of not belonging surface repeatedly. The monastery setting amplifies these reactions because there are fewer outlets for escape, and because the tradition does not prioritize explaining or comforting. This theme shows Zen training as a confrontation with the self rather than an accumulation of uplifting ideas. The reader sees how the mind manufactures narratives to protect identity, and how those narratives become obvious when daily life is simplified. The author also explores the desire for dramatic breakthrough experiences and the frustration when practice feels barren. That tension helps clarify a major Zen lesson: insight cannot be forced by craving it, yet practice still demands intensity. By treating doubt as part of the path rather than a sign of defeat, the narrative normalizes psychological struggle while also showing its risks. This topic is valuable for readers curious about meditation because it presents the inner weather realistically, emphasizing that clarity often arrives alongside confusion, and that the process involves learning to stay present even when the mind argues, panics, or feels empty. Fourthly, teacher, community, and power guidance, correction, and human complexity. A fourth topic is the role of authority and community in a spiritual institution. the book describes interactions with teachers and senior monks in a way that highlights both the benefits and the tensions of hierarchical training. Guidance often comes through brief interviews, direct commands, or correction rather than lengthy explanation. This can be illuminating because it shifts attention from ideas to immediate experience, but it can also feel ambiguous to someone used to verbal clarity. The community itself acts as a pressure system. Shared standards enforce discipline, and social comparison can trigger pride or shame. The author observes how power operates through seemingly small things, such as who speaks, who leads, and who is corrected publicly. Importantly, the narrative does not reduce the monastery to either pure wisdom or mere oppression. Instead, it shows human complexity within the institution, including moments of kindness, misunderstanding, humor, and conflict. But this balanced portrayal helps readers think critically about spiritual authority without dismissing the value of lineage-based training. The topic also raises questions about surrender and autonomy. How much should a student yield, and how does one maintain integrity while being shaped by a demanding tradition? By focusing on relationships, the book grounds Zen practice in real social dynamics rather than idealized solitude. Lastly, emptiness and the self. What the monastery reveals about identity, the final major theme concerns what Zen ideas like emptiness and no self mean when tested by lived experience. Rather than presenting these concepts as philosophy, the narrative suggests that the monastery environment gradually erodes the usual sense of being a fixed person with a stable story. When life is reduced to posture, breath, and routine, identity can feel less solid. The author explores moments when perception becomes unusually direct, as well as periods when nothing special seems to happen, inviting the reader to consider whether emptiness is dramatic or ordinary. The monastery becomes an empty mirror in the sense that it reflects the student back to himself, without providing the familiar reinforcements of comfort, entertainment, or social validation. This can feel unsettling, because the mind prefers certainty, yet it can also be freeing when old patterns lose their grip. The topic clarifies that Zen training is not about constructing a better self-image, but about seeing how self-image is constructed in the first place. The book also implies that insight is inseparable from character and behavior, because the way one reacts to hardship reveals the strength of any claimed understanding. By the end, readers are left with a grounded sense of Zen as a practice of direct observation, where the most important discoveries arise from persistent attention to the simplest realities. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want an honest, story-driven look at Zen beyond slogans, including meditation practitioners, travelers interested in Japan, and anyone curious about what disciplined spiritual training feels like from the inside. It is also useful for readers skeptical of idealized spirituality, because it portrays the path as demanding, sometimes confusing, and deeply human. The benefit lies in how it reframes growth progress is shown less as accumulating wisdom and more as learning to endure discomfort, observe the mind, and recognize how identity forms through habits and expectations. Even if a reader never enters a monastery, the book can encourage a more practical approach to attention, routine, and emotional resilience. Compared with many Zen introductions that focus on doctrine or inspirational simplicity, this memoir offers concrete texture schedules, interpersonal friction, cultural barriers, and the psychological consequences of silence. That specificity makes it easier to translate insights into everyday life because the reader can see how awareness is challenged moment by moment. It is worth buying if you want a memorable narrative that neither romanticizes nor dismisses Zen, and that leaves you with a clearer sense of what serious practice asks of a person and why some still choose it. If you would like to support Jen Willem van de Wetering, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.